We are the church. We are a community of believers who are led by the Spirit. We're a collection, we're a gathering of people who have been forever changed by the life-saving work of the resurrected Christ. We're a community of transformation. We're a people who are being transformed, and we're a people who proclaim a transformative message. We're a worshiping community. We're a serving community. We're a learning community. We are a giving community. And our church, Fellowship Bible Church of Northwest Arkansas, we are a local expression of the church, the global movement of Christianity that exists around this globe. And in the month of August, we're taking some time to talk church. We're in a series, We Are the Church, where we're looking into the scriptures and we're learning what the scriptures say about how to do church and what's expected of a church. We're doing some ecclesiology. Ecclesiology is that branch of theology that is concerned with the nature and the purpose of the church. And so each week we'll look at some scriptures and then we'll take a look at how we do church here at Fellowship. Now, we started by defining the ultimate objective of the church, the bottom line of what we're trying to accomplish, our aim, our target. And for us, we think the ultimate objective of the church is to glorify God. We exist to make one name famous, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our ultimate objective. We want to live in such a way. We want to do church in such a way. We want to fulfill our calling as a community of believers in such a way that we make much of God, that we magnify and exalt and glorify the name of the Lord, and we put on full display for everyone to see the greatness and the goodness of God. And as a church, we have a hope. We have a dream that is expressed in our vision statement. We hope and pray that we would change the heart and the soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. It's a big dream. We desire that our community of faith, that our ministry would make a difference in this world, that we would change the heart and the soul where we live, and then extend that, export that even around the world. And we have a strategy for getting there. That's our mission. But we exist to produce and release spiritual leaders who know and express the authentic Christ to Northwest Arkansas and the world. We've bet the farm that the best way to accomplish our vision to change the heart and the soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world is to become a leadership factory. We want to produce a horde of spiritual leaders, influencers for Christ. And around Fellowship, we define a spiritual leader as a maturing disciple with a ministry focus. Someone who knows Christ deeply and then expresses him where they live, work, and play. So our first 2 weeks of our series, We Are the Church, have covered these big picture items. Today, we want to turn the corner and get more specific. We want to pop the hood on this thing we call Fellowship Bible Church and look at some key things that drive who we are and explain what we do. And here's the overarching thought for today: that a healthy church should be driven by biblical ministry principles, that we should be looking into the scriptures and then allowing the scriptures to shape both our thought and our action and form for us a philosophy of ministry that determines how we work out this thing called church. And so I'm going to give you three key ministry principles today. Three things that really drive us. Now, they're not all inclusive. We have a list of a whole bunch of ministry principles. And I also want to note that when we talk about doing church, we're talking about us, okay? There are many ways to do church. In fact, I tell people when they move to Northwest Arkansas, point in any direction and throw a rock. Where that rock lands is a healthy church. Go there. There are lots of incredible churches, but they may do things a little different than us. Does it make us right? doesn't make us better, but I'm here to tell you how we do it because you drove here, whether by mistake or on purpose. You may have been trying to go to Walmart and now you sit in a worship service. Here are my three principles I want to give you today. A healthy church empowers spiritual leaders. A healthy church gives the ministry away. Secondly, a healthy church embraces change. We continue to try to be relevant without compromising our calling. And then the last one, a healthy church is incarnational, not just attractional. So these help us decide how we do ministry. Let's begin with empowering spiritual leaders. It falls under this ecclesiological or theological thought called the priesthood of the believer. And if you've been around long enough, you've heard us talk about this one. Fellowship Bible Church strongly believes in the priesthood of every believer. We believe all believers. Everyone say, that's me. All believers in Christ are called to and are capable of ministering to others. I believe with my whole heart that you can be a minister to someone else in this world. We believe that all are called to contribute to the mission of the church. When I look out here, I see our ministry staff. We don't think that the ministry is something that only those who have a special calling or special education or special training can do. We don't believe that the ministry is only for the clergy or the priests or the pastors or the ministers are to perform. We believe that it's all hands on deck when it comes to doing the work of the ministry. Therefore, we're an equipping church. And our staff doesn't just do ministry. We give it away, and we coach, and we train, and we cheerlead others to do it alongside of us. Well, is that biblical? Remember, a healthy church should be driven by biblical ministry principles. Well, of course it is. You find the concept of the priesthood of the believer in both your Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at this passage from Exodus chapter 19. This is speaking to Israel, but the concept is clear. The Lord said to Israel, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of what? Priests. You won't be a kingdom with priests. And they were. There was a role within the nation of Israel of priests. No, you'll be a kingdom of priests. My holy nation representing me. New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you, speaking to the church, everybody say, that's me. This is talking about you and me. But you are a chosen people, a royal what? Priesthood. You see, the church doesn't just have priests. The church is a collection of priests, ministers, a holy nation. God's special possession with a mission that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people of God, but now you are. Once you had not received his mercy, but now you have. And so share it with others. The scriptures reveal to us that in God's plan, there aren't two classes of believers, the clergy and the laity, the pastors and the congregants. No, the scriptures teach that we are all called to be God's representatives here on earth. All of us bear the responsibility for being his hands and his feet, his heart and his voice in the lives of those around us. Now, there are some tasks, some functions, some duties within the ministry that do require some expert skill or experience or knowledge. And we do have some educated staff and some experienced staff on our church, so don't worry. We don't just grab people out of the foyer and say, hey, will you come and teach? We're good. But in principle, we strongly believe in sharing the work of the ministry. We do ministry in team. Now, there are some implications at Fellowship you may have noticed, you may not have. Have you ever noticed that our pastors don't carry with us a title? I'm not Pastor Sam or Brother Sam or Reverend Hannon or Dr. Hannon. You can call me that if you want, but please just call me Sam. And that's on purpose. We're in this together. If anybody should be called brother something or sister something, it should be you. Because I want you to continually remember that you are a priest of the Lord representing him. Also, our staff doesn't wear liturgical clothing. It's not a fashion choice. It's a theological choice. We don't wear the robes in church or don the collar as we go about our lives in Northwest Arkansas on purpose, trying to break down the division between the priest and the laity, the clergy and the congregants. Also, you may have noticed we don't have anybody's name on the sign out front. It's not that we couldn't afford it. We just don't know whose name to put on it. Because we're all in this together, right? Our staff doesn't have special parking spots, and our whole goal as a staff is to recruit and to train and to release as many people as we can, to release as much ministry as we can, the teaching, the leading, the caring for all of the people. We're in this together. Are you bought in? Well, just in case you're not, did Jesus do this? Oh, yeah. Jesus did this. If you look at his ministry, and I'll show you a few passages in the Gospel of Luke today. Look at who he released ministry to. You go back to Luke chapter 5. This is Jesus going to Simon, Peter, James, and John. He interrupts their work. They were out fishing. They were commercial fishermen. And Jesus goes to them, and he said, after a long interaction, he calls them to follow him, and he says to Simon Peter, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. He's calling him out of commercial fishing and into the ministry. And Simon and his buddies, James and John, they responded. They pulled their boats up on the shore. They dropped their nets. They left everything, and they followed him. Early on in his earthly ministry, Jesus recruited and empowered a ministry team of 12 people to join him. Among them, Simon, James, John, and their occupation? Fishermen. They had never been to seminary. They had no theological training. They had no experience in evangelism or counseling or discipleship. Jesus just said, I want you to be with me. I want you to watch what I do, and then I want you to replicate it. He called just everyday people to do ministry with him. We move on in the Gospel of Luke. We get up to Luke chapter 9. Jesus has got his whole ministry team with him. There are 12 of them. And then he empowers them and releases them to go and do ministry. Luke 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to do everything he had been doing, driving out demons, curing diseases, proclaiming the kingdom of God, and healing the sick. Jesus spent time with this team. And his goal wasn't for them to merely observe him doing ministry or to aid him in his ministry, but he wanted them to pick up how to do the ministry, and then he sent them out to do it. Jesus empowered and released spiritual leaders. Now you may be saying, well, golly, surely these 12, the 12 disciples, are really special people with a special calling. And you may be right to some extent, but you've got a real problem because there's more in chapter 10 of Luke. You see, chapter 10 is where this thing really gets serious for you and I. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. He called 72 others together and empowered them and appointed them and released them to do ministry. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, or as we call them around fellowship, the spiritual leaders, everybody say, that's me. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out. He not only released his ministry to a group of 12 everyday people that included fishermen, but then he released them to a people that were so undistinguishable, so ordinary, so everyday that we don't even get their names. People like you and people like me, everyday folks. And he appointed them, he commissioned them, and he released them to go be his representatives. Jesus modeled producing and releasing spiritual leaders. He strongly believed in the priesthood of every believer. Now, most ministries look like this in picture form, like an upside-down triangle. The ministry is built on the capabilities and the availability and the capacity of the called, trained priest or clergy or pastor. How do you reach more people? Well, you've got to find a pastor with a bigger capacity. And it all comes down, it bottlenecks on them and their availability and their capability. Well, at Fellowship, we want to flip that triangle upside down. And we want to release the weight and the responsibility and the duties of the ministry to our spiritual leaders. Everybody say, guess what? That's me. Well, how do we grow the influence of the ministry? And if we're having the spiritual leaders do all the work, why do we have staff? Because y'all sure have a lot of staff for a volunteer-led church. Well, our job is to coach and cheerlead and train and problem solve. We're an equipping church, and we do the work of the ministry right alongside of you. Well, how do we grow our influence? Well, we just work our mission statement. We produce and release more spiritual leaders. Do you see it? It brings up a principle that we're trying to work out, that a healthy church empowers people to do ministry. We believe that every single person in this room has the capacity and the potential to be a spiritual leader, a maturing disciple with a ministry focus. And we believe that God's called all of us to contribute to the ministry. You may say, oh, whoa, whoa, Pastor. I mean, Sam. I don't even know where the book of Luke is. And I'm being serious. Hey, well, you may not be ready just yet, but we want you to sit in the greenhouse for a while and grow up in your faith. And then just before you're ready, we'll sign you up and release you. Hey, I want to share a story of what this looks like this morning. I want you to hear the story of Brian and Beth Klim.
So we moved to Northwest Arkansas in the summer of 2017 because of Brian's work. That was a really scary experience because we left the only home we'd ever known. We left the only church family we had ever known. Those people were our family. And we made the decision we were going to visit different churches every Sunday. And so our first visit was to Fellowship.
Our main goal was to plug the boys into a community group or a youth group, immediately get them involved. Church was over, we got in the car and we were headed home and we said, all right, boys, we're gonna pick up next Sunday, we're gonna go to another church service somewhere else. And they said, well, you can just drop us off here and we'll stay at Fellowship and you can go do whatever you want to do and come back and get us. So it was a good, it was just a natural fit and God had just blessed us by that. And so we knew that our home needed to be at Fellowship. Our connection with our community group was pretty much immediate when we walked in to that community group that evening. We immediately made connections with folks that we felt like we had known for 10 years.
As we started to approach the end of spring semester, I guess, community group, Brian and I had been asked to be co-leaders, which was stepping out in faith again for us a little bit. And so we felt honored, but a little bit maybe ill-equipped to use the word leader. I like the word facilitator. But we gladly took on that role to help. You know, I think about being welcomed into our leader's home that night. We were sitting around their table eating, and how special that was to us because we had not yet made that connection of family. And so if we're able to be that connection for someone, then that's what the Lord meant for it to be, for sure. Knowing how special and how much it meant to us and how important it is for us to have that connection, it was worth seeking it out. I knew as a parent it was important to plug my boys in. I guess I just didn't realize until I was plugged in how important it was for me to be plugged in.
We had a lot of discussions about, you know, maybe is it time to start a new community group, basically birth a new community group or expand, multiply. And so that has been laid on our heart as co-leaders of our community group to just go out and expand that and to grow. We don't know what the Lord has in store. We don't have a set amount of people that we're looking for. It's just been one of those things that we're trusting that, you know what, Lord's got some folks. We're going to bring them together and form relationships. It's kind of unknown territory to us. We're stepping out in faith that, you know what, God is going to bless this group and going to expand that, and that there may be somebody at Fellowship that would want to come and join our group.
We're excited and a little bit nervous of what it's going to look like. Trust that God will be faithful in making that. And send people that need to be in our group, just place them just where they need to be, just like He did us.
So Fellowship's mission is to release leaders. So I guess that means us. We are now going to be released. Possibly, it may be your time to step up and to be that leader, to be released.
That's the story that I want to see happen at our church hundreds and hundreds of times as people realize their potential, their calling, and then step out in faith. Did you hear? Even before they feel ready and take a chance, whether it's in community ministry, and it sounds like the Clems have room in their group. If you want to be in their group, go to their group. They would love to have you. Now, if all of you show up, it could be a parking problem. Now, what about children's ministry or student ministry or worship ministry or hospitality ministry? We want to see people empowered to do the work. Let's move on. Second principle. At Fellowship Bible Church, our philosophy of ministry calls for us to distinguish between forms of ministry and functions in ministry. What do we mean by that? A function is a biblical responsibility assigned to the church by the Lord. So that's things like corporate worship, or maybe proclamation of the gospel, evangelism, or spiritual formation, spiritual growth, discipleship. And we don't really get a choice as a church, if we want to be a biblical church, of whether we get to fulfill those functions. Those are commands, callings from the Lord. But the form in which we do it, the manner in which the function is accomplished, can vary. Let me give you an example. What's the best way to hold a church worship service? What's the best way? Well, see, the answer can vary. Some churches may have a full choir with all the choir robes, or maybe they have a pipe organ instead of a full band. Other churches may have an orchestra. They may have a liturgy where they recite creeds and formal prayers, or have an altar call where people come down to experiencing prayers for healing and that sort of thing. What's the best way? Well, see, that's just it. Functions don't change, but forms do. And at Fellowship, we believe that we're called to continually adapt our methodologies to reach our culture. This chart may help you. Functions are timeless. Forms are timely. Functions, they're static, unchanging, non-negotiable, while forms are flexible. They're changeable and negotiable. Functions are all about mission, while forms are about method. Functions, they're like anchors, where forms are adaptable. And so we've got to change as a church. Is this biblical? Well, sure it is. Let me show you a quick passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking about his philosophy of ministry, his form of ministry, and he's talking about evangelism. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, he says, you know, I really don't answer to anyone when it comes to how I do evangelism. He says, I've chosen to make myself subject to or a slave to everyone. He says, I actually submit myself to my audience that I'm trying to evangelize so that I can be effective, so that I can win as many as possible. The Apostle Paul here is talking about form and function. It will become more clear as we progress in the passage. He says to the Jewish audience, I become like a Jew to evangelize or win the Jews. To those under the law, the Jews, I become like one under the law so as to win them. He says, if I'm going to evangelize a group of Jewish people, then I'm going to anchor myself in the Old Testament. I'm going to preach Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophets. He says, but in verse 21, to those not having the law, now he's talking about the Gentiles, I became like one not having the law so as to win those not having the law. He says, if I'm in Athens and I'm speaking to the Greeks, then I might appeal to the Greek philosophers as opposed to the Old Testament prophets in order to evangelize. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might win or save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel. Paul is speaking about both form and function, and you see it in the passage. I've put the forms in bold. That's where Paul is saying, I became. I became. He's saying, I'm changing my methodology, and then the functions are highlighted in yellow. He's talking about winning people. He's talking about evangelism, winning over their belief so that they might become saved. I love the summary statement in verse 22. Paul says, I will change my methodology depending on where I am and who I'm with, but I'm not going to change the function. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, that's forms, I might save some. Paul says, I'm going to keep evangelizing. And it brings up a principle for us at Fellowship, that a healthy church has to change. We've got to continually adapt, but we don't abandon our calling. Amen? Hey, if we're doing church the same way we're doing it now, 25 years from now, you know who's going to be here? Just us. Your kids and your grandkids, they're gone. We've got to change, but we don't compromise. This summer I was traveling and I walked into this gas station and I saw right there the front rack was a whole bunch of these. Printed maps. Now, some of you may have some familiarity with retail, but I just thought, what a waste of shelf space. When's the last time you used one of these? This is obsolete technology, isn't it? But I can remember my grandparents, man, we lived by the map. When we were going on road trips, they're like, hey, map us. Which, if you think about the size of these things, quite dangerous. About the size of a windshield. And then they'd say, turn on location services. Now, I want you to imagine going on a road trip with your kids or your grandkids and pulling out. It's going to take an hour. We're going to miss lunch. I want you to imagine going on a road trip and telling your kids, this is how you're going to map, while you're ignoring your navigational system, while you're ignoring the map feature on your phone or the other five phones that are connected to the Wi-Fi in your car or hitting OnStar. You know, some people view the church like that. They don't get us. They don't understand us. The church is back there, living decades apart from where we're at. So we've got to change. It's got to be a core value. And so I want to challenge us, if you're comfortable and you like what we're doing right now, just know that it's not going to stay this way, and you're probably going to be upset at some point. But we do it because we're on mission. But I will commit to you this. We should never change our calling. We should never abandon this book. Amen? You see, we don't want to give our children our grandparents' church, but we do want to give them our grandparents' doctrine and their orthodoxy. I think we have time for one more. We've looked at a healthy church empowers spiritual leaders. A healthy church embraces change without compromising its calling. Here's the last one. A healthy church is incarnational, not just attractional. Well, what do we mean by that? You know, Fellowship's philosophy of ministry predominantly has a decentralized feel to it. More ministry happens away from our campus than happens on it. And that is by design. You know, most ministries or churches centralize their ministry to where most of the ministries and the programs are happening on the campus. So whether it's evangelism or spiritual education or discipleship or feeding the poor or student ministry, it's always done on the campus. In fact, a key question for a centralized ministry is how can we get people to come here to hear about Jesus? What can we do to attract people to come here and hear Jesus? And by the way, I'm not opposed to attracting people to coming to church. Feel free to invite all the people you want to come to church. But at Fellowship, we're a decentralized model. We come here once a week, we gather, and then we scatter. Did you know we only have 10 classrooms on our campus to serve thousands of adults and students? You ever notice that we didn't have a basketball gym or a huge catering kitchen with a dining hall? Ever notice that we don't host a lot of concerts or that our student ministry on their biggest night of the week actually meets off campus? This is all intentional and is a part of our philosophy of ministry because we're asking a different question. The question is not what can we do to get them to come here? It's what can we pour into our people, that's us, to take Jesus there. Incarnational, not attractional. That word incarnation, it means to embody something, to be a living embodiment of something. A centralized model is attractional in nature. A decentralized model is incarnational. Now, is that biblical? Oh, man. Is it ever? John chapter 1, verse 14. Speaking of Jesus, it says, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling where? Incarnation. He put the glory of God, Jesus did. He put the grace of God, the truth of God on full display. God's strategy for reaching you and for reaching me was that he came to us. Jesus, the divine, stepped out of heaven, clothed himself in humanity, and dwelled among us. And when he got here, he didn't set up in the temple and say, hey, tell everybody to come hear me speak. No, he stayed at Peter's house. And he had dinner at Mary and Martha's house. And he went to weddings and funerals and festivals. And he embodied grace and truth. And he put the love of the Father on full display. He put flesh on the gospel message. That's what we're trying to get at here. That we want to gather, yes, this is the pep rally for the church, but we want to be filled up to the point that it spills out of our lives into the lives of others as we scatter from here and share Christ with people who would never darken the door of a church, but they like to have coffee. They'll come over for a cookout. They'll sit by you at your gymnastics meet or your son's ball game, and it's there that they can see the glory and the grace and the truth of God. Reminds me of our last principle for the day. A healthy church is not a place, it's a people who live a message. Three principles that drive and shape us. We are the church. We are a community of believers led by the Spirit, called by God to proclaim a transformative message. Are y'all ready to do this? I'm sorry, I get a little fired up when I talk about this stuff. Hey, I want us to close today by taking communion together. And I want to do it today, right in the middle of this series, to remind us who the head of our church is. And I want to remind us that we are a people who have a similar story. We've been transformed by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So as the ushers get the elements, they'll be passing them. Would you prepare your heart, and then we'll take them together as a family at the end. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. Lord, not so that we would come to church, but Lord, so that we could become the church. And Lord, we want to be your living expression of your grace and truth in Northwest Arkansas and around the world. So Lord, today as we take the bread and the cup, would you center us on the head of the church, Jesus, and remind us what he's done for us.